Welcome to the Unpacking Sunday podcast, where we take a deeper look at what God is speaking to you, to our church, and to the world around us. So grab a coffee, sit back, and let's unpack it together.
All right.
Here we are.
Oh, nice. Like, you did it. You did it.
I had to just not think about it.
Nice. I love it. We're in.
It's because it's so sunny out today. I'm in a great mood.
It's a beautiful day. The sun is shining. Mike is grinning.
I'm in a funny mood. I'm in a funny mood right now.
Yeah. How would you describe the mood you're in?
You know, those moods where, like, you just had a really annoying conversation, but now you're happy about, like, where you're moving into.
Yeah, and you're so also, like, kind of happy the conversation's done.
Yeah, and I'm like, I feel like a butterfly emerging from a cocoon.
Oh, wow, what a feeling.
Where I was, like, suffocated before, and now I'm breaking through into new life.
Cloud nine, yeah. I would say. Yes, so, I love it. Well, it's good. I'm glad
that
you're here.
Everyone who listens today will feel like that by the time we're done.
Yeah, and no better place to be than in church.
Unpacking
on a
Sunday.
Breaking down some Sunday morning sermons.
Yes, so here we are. How are you, Josh?
I'm doing well. It has been a... What have I done since the last week when we were here? Not much.
You went to church.
I went to church.
Yeah. You had brunch at the Hardbean Cafe.
Oh, drop you're a link, so good. You link. Remember. Drop
and
a link.
You
we
came
are
to
looking
my
for
house.
Sponsors.
Yeah, you came to my house.
Yep. Because we had a housewarming party.
My house was warmed.
I brought you a strawberry salt and pepper shaker.
You did.
Yeah. And I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you very much.
And I just know how much you love strawberries.
Okay. I was wondering why strawberries. So that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember, I think your mother-in-law also came with you guys.
Yes. You love my mother.
I love her. Yeah. She's so cool.
Andrea, shout Andrea. Out. She's going to be so honored.
And I think between you and Andrea, you had my favorite two comments about my new house.
Oh, yeah. What was it?
Andrea came in and she said, "Is this a show home?" And then we said,
you
no.
You heard that? You
yeah.
were upstairs.
And we yeah. said no. And then she said, "But it used to be a show home, right?" And
oh,
we're like, no.
So
and then Josh, you said, "Mike, I didn't realize you had, like, such an aesthetic. Like, this was such a passion of yours."
Well,
I was like, I don't know what to say to that kind of comment.
Did it blow your mind a little bit? Yeah. Well, I've seen what you've done with your office. And I was like, okay, that's impressive. But then, like, doing it on a bigger scale. In an entire home.
The things you can do when you just paint the walls white.
A little bit of feng shui, they call that. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So anyway, y'all are welcome to pop by if you ever discover my address.
Yeah, he does not have a lock on the door. So feel free
I
to just make yourself at home.
I do have a lock on the door.
Fridge is stocked. Enjoy.
We try to keep it full because we have kids.
Yeah, it's true.
And they'll take them away if we don't feed them.
That's one of the rules, I think. Yeah.
So, okay, anyway, but what did you do? So then you came to church on Sunday.
Yes, I came to church.
And after church.
It was lovely.
I went for a walk, probably.
I did go for a walk. You know me so well.
Yeah, because if there's someone that's predictable,
it's
like
me.
You look at the word predictable in the dictionary, and it's Josh
Ballard's
photo.
It's a picture
photo.
Of me. I literally ate saltines for lunch today, so it just shows you how basic
So then you probably had a walk, went home and had a tea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then where did I go? Sunday night.
Sunday night?
Yeah.
Did you go out?
I went out.
Probably like Spaca or something like that.
No, I went for a family dinner at my
parents'
house.
Oh, at your parents'. Oh, yeah.
I thought you would get that.
You go back and forth.
I thought you would
get
that.
Yeah, you go back and forth.
Yeah.
When you said out, I thought you meant like out somewhere.
Oh, no, that is me going out. Yeah, I don't. I took my slippers off, is what that means.
So then, yeah, that's really going out.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So anyway, it sounds like you had a good week. Like,
that's hilarious.
Good for you. Like,
I love that week. I had a great week. I did some reading. I played some cards. Enjoyed the sun. Watched a hockey game. What more do you need out of life?
Yeah.
God is good.
Right.
You had a busy week.
Oh, yeah.
You had a lot going on this week.
I had a few things.
Yeah. You were bouncing around to and fro.
Here and there. And
up and down. Yeah. Everywhere.
But doing good.
Yeah.
Doing good.
And now we're together. We've made it to Tuesday.
Now we're together as if we're not every other day of the week for some reason. Okay, but we're on Unpacking Sunday, and so let's do that. We are in a fascinating part of Romans that's only going to get... Actually, it might not get crazier. This is a tough part.
This is a peak.
This is a tough part. But we are going to then even more so talk about Israel and God's what God's doing with Israel, but right now we're talking about God gets to pick who God wants to pick.
Should we read out the verse maybe just to center us all?
So we're Romans chapter 9, verse 14 to 18 from this last week. Hit it, Josh.
What then shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. Hmm. It does not therefore depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. For scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Therefore, God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden.
Oh, shucks, that part's hard.
That's a tough one.
Okay, so how did you walk away from Sunday? What was that like, or what thoughts are going through your head?
I walked away from Sunday thinking the first half was quite election-y. And then I kind of thought the second half was like quite free willy. Oh, I shouldn't say
free willy. That's like the movie from the 90s.
Yeah, like it's a whale, right? Is that what it is? You got to free him. And yeah, so I walked away. Actually, I found myself agreeing with you quite a bit, which is going to make some people really sad because they were expecting a wild podcast.
They wanted a battle.
Because, I mean, these two realities like are very clear biblically that somehow there is a sovereign God who chooses who he wants, who does as he will, and whatever he chooses and whatever he will do is the just thing. He's the parameter for what just even is. And you mentioned that in your sermon as well. Mm-hmm. But also, we have a responsibility. We are not automatons. We are not robots. We are not... already an eye roll? That's my first one. Luke, we got to get a counter. You didn't like automatons, I think. Automatons did it for you.
It's like the Transformer.
Yeah, so somehow these two themes were able to hold in tension. And so we see plenty of biblical evidence for the idea of free will, and we see plenty of biblical evidence for the idea of election. So it comes to us in the end. It's our inability to walk in that tension. God is more than happy to walk in tension. He does it everywhere throughout Scripture. His understanding is far superior than our own. And for some reason, we're comfortable like having mysteries in the Christian life. We're comfortable with, you know, the mystery of the Trinity, that somehow God is one person, but also three. Even though it's a mystery, we'll never completely understand exactly how that happens. We're comfortable with the hypostatic union, that somehow Jesus is 100% God and 100% man. We're comfortable with that. But what we're not comfortable with for some reason is this idea that somehow God is sovereign and chooses whom he will, but also we are responsible to put our faith in Jesus Christ and to believe. For this one point, we seem to desire like a concrete, clear answer.
Oh, people want to hop on one side of the scale or the other, right? Yeah. But also, I think what Paul is talking, well, not I think, it's quite obvious that Paul is talking to the nation of Israel. Like, that's how he opens chapter 9, or this section of his letter, because there was originally no chapter. But he's grieving over these people who just have missed it a little bit. And the reason that they've missed it is that they think that they have earned righteousness for themselves, or that they could. Mm-hmm. And so that the point that Paul is trying to make is there is no possible way you ever could do this. Mm-hmm. Right? And so is he describing how God does what he does? I don't know if he's doing that, but what he is doing is he's saying it for sure wasn't you. Mm-hmm. Right? And it will never be you. Right. And so we first have to come to terms with that this is, however it works out, baseline, it wasn't anything Josh or Mike did mm-hmm. to earn our righteousness. It is all the mercy of God, and the mercy of God is never our right. We have earned for ourselves one thing and one thing only, which is the wrath of God. Mm-hmm. And so anything that we get in addition to that is either the mercy or grace of God.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's what we read too. Like even in Ephesians, let me pull it up so I don't just misquote Ephesians. I think it's Ephesians 2, maybe 4. This, it's famous. You know this. It's 2:8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God, right? Grace is a gift of God that he has given us. It's completely of his own will to give it. We do not deserve it. We did not earn it. I think everybody across the board agrees on that. I think maybe the one area where maybe you and I kind of interpret it a little bit differently is the through faith aspect of it. That it's through, you think that putting your faith, like choosing to put your faith in God, that now has become an act, right? Or a work. Is that fair to say? You correct me if I'm wrong.
I just think you need to be careful when you talk about, like, how did you become a Christian? If you say it's because I believed in God.
Ooh.
Really, you could believe in God, and like, but is that why you're a Christian, or is it because like God came and made a way for you? Because without that happening, you could not be a Christian. There's no possible way. So I think it depends where the onus is, and even in Ephesians, what you just read, it says, it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. Like faith is the conduit,
faith is the
through
vehicle
which we access the grace and mercy of God.
Right, but
it is not the way that you got saved was not because of your faith.
I don't know. I where I kind of stumble with this part is like, is it 16:4? What are you doing? What are you saying? What are you whispering?
I'm just assuming what you're gonna read.
What do you think?
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, Jesus himself says that salvation is for those who believe, right? Mm-hmm. So there is this aspect. Well, I know it's in John. That's what I was trying to find, but then I heard your whispering. I'm going to find it for you quick. Do you know where? You can just beat me to it if you do.
Well, I don't disagree with that. Well, obviously, if Jesus said it. But I would still say the same thing. Like, that's how you access or how you apprehend what God has already done for you. That's it.
Right, but so if that doesn't happen, then you don't... You still, even though it's already been done, the grace is a gift that is available for you. That's been... Mm-hmm. He's achieved, right? Mm-hmm. If you still refuse to believe or refuse to put your faith there, you cannot access that grace.
But you just can't take the responsibility for it, is all I'm saying. And I'm glad you used the word gift, because it reminds me, like, if I were to give you something right now, or like a birthday gift...
Mm-hmm.
What's something you're hoping for your next birthday?
I've always wanted to go on one of those. Is it called a one wheeler where you just they kind of rip around?
Oh yeah,
those Luke are cool. Wants one too. Okay, maybe we'll share one.
Okay.
Yes, this game would be really cool.
Okay. Yeah. So let's say I gave you a one wheeler.
Thank you.
Right. Then would you? And then someone's like, "Oh wow, how did you get this one wheeler?" You would say, "Oh, Mike gave this to me." You would never say, it's because I grabbed this from Mike's hand as he was extending it out to me. No, it's because you would say, this guy gave me this great gift. And so where does the responsibility for the gift lie, is my question.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. That lies with the giver. I guess the issue is, in order to, like the issue with this kind of, you know, fictional situation of you giving me a one wheel.
Congrats, by the way.
There's an aspect of faith that is required. I need to believe first that you have a one wheel. I need to believe the thing inside the box that you've given me is a one wheel. I need to believe that you're able to give me a one wheel. Mm-hmm. There's an element of trust, of vulnerability, of responsibility that if we take away from me, if we don't put the onus for even recognizing or putting my faith, like this is why I see putting my faith in Jesus as the opposite of a work. A work or pointing to myself to say I did something to earn salvation, that's like saying, hey, God, look, I walked this person across the street. That's a merit point. I picked my kids up from school, didn't leave them there. That's a merit point, right? Like that is a work, trying to earn your salvation. What putting your faith in Jesus is, that's literally the opposite of a work. It's saying, God, don't look at me. God, I can't do anything worthy of earning this great gift you want to give me. Instead, look at Jesus, the one who can, the one who did, and the one who promises that if I put my faith in him, if I believe, if I trust in him, that he will be that representation for me. So that whenever God thinks of me, he'll think of Jesus. He'll remember Jesus on the cross. So putting my faith in Jesus, I think it's the opposite of a work.
What's the opposite of a work?
It's instead of saying, look at me, it's saying, don't look at me.
So
the opposite of a work. So a work is saying, look at me. I deserve this because I've earned it. I should be credited this to my account. The opposite of a work is faith. It's saying, don't look at me because I know I don't deserve it. Instead, look at Jesus. It's pointing away from me, putting my faith in Jesus. It's not pointing towards me. That's why I think it's the opposite of a work.
Sure. Okay. I can get behind that.
You're with me on that? So this is what we always find. We always get to a point where we get there in very different ways, but then we start to agree. Because I also believe, like, through the foreknowledge of God, he already knows who is going to choose him, and he elects those people. Oh, you don't like that one?
No, that's fine.
Too far?
It's just a big conversation.
Okay, we won't go there.
That's like next week.
Okay,
that's next week. Yeah, wow, okay.
Oh, that's another tease.
It might not be next week. I'm not sure if we'll land there, but that's a big, like, the foreknowledge of God opens up like a whole other can of worms that we can't discuss in the next 6 minutes.
In the next, so, oh, we're down to 6 minutes left? Okay. I think when I was thinking about it the other day, I think that's the only area really that we kind of disagreed on, because I 100% agree. Like, apart from putting my faith in Jesus, there's absolutely nothing that I can do. And even me putting my faith in Jesus is not saying that I have now done this work that has earned me
salvation. No, you haven't. And so I would just be careful. And that's what we said like 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Like, you can't say that you're a Christian because you believed in Jesus. That's not like the... Okay, this happens, and sorry, Sam, for saying this, but this happens at home all the time. Sam will always say, that's why, for things that, like, after the fact, like, you know, the cup falls over on the counter, and she'll say, like, oh, that's why we should never put cups there. And I was like, this specific instance is not the reason why we should never put the cups on the counter. Like, there's no possible way you knew that this would happen. Mm-hmm. And so we can't
It's a correlation, not a causation.
We can't also then do that. Like, oh, this, now that I'm looking back, it's not that I chose Jesus. That's why I'm a Christian. That's not the case. It's that he allowed this. Like, he moved toward you and opened this up for you, that just simply by believing what he did. So I would say, like, you accepting Jesus is a grace of God.
Yeah, there was enabling grace first for me to even be able to, choose Jesus. Thank you.
Yeah. And so that's all I would say, is I would just say, we cannot, the minute that you try to take the responsibility of your salvation, that's a problem for me.
Yeah. I just get so uncomfortable when we say... when we say that,
I'm not saying
it also includes, I'm not saying belief, it's hang, I'm and not it also saying includes faith, you must, but it's believe. Not just, yes,
and it's not because of, because it's,
yes, because then that takes the onus off of the giver, which is the grace that he is extending towards us.
And like, because also I just reflect on my story, the mercy and grace of God was, like, I feel chased me down in my life, and it's like there was. And I won't say irresistible grace, because we're not going to go there.
Because then we're getting back into it.
Yeah. Like, because that's not what I'm trying to say. But I'm saying there was such a pursuit, I feel, when I look at my life, that God pursued me so intensely, where it's like, I really did nothing. I didn't look for him. I didn't try to find him. Like, God just pursued me. And then, of course, I just turn around and say, wow. What an awesome love. What an amazing thing that there would be a God who would love me like this. What other choice do I have but to love him
back? Yeah, that's our response. It should really put us on our knees in gratitude and in awe of.
And so the more passive that we can talk about it, the happier I am, like falling into the grace of God. I love that. I don't even love apprehending, because it's like a reaching out, which you have to do. I understand that. But it's like, that's not why or how.
Yeah, it's almost like, okay, I found the verse that I had it backwards. I was looking in John 16:3, but it's actually John 3:15. And I'll start at 14. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, the prophecy, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Mm-hmm. Even in that, the wording is may have. Even in your belief, it's directly tied to, like, receiving, you know, it's directly tied to this idea that we're talking about of a gift being given. So if we go back to our analogy from earlier, I think of, like, belief as me, like, just opening up my hand.
That's it.
That's all.
That's why I don't like apprehend.
Right.
I don't mind receive.
Yeah.
Right. Because that's what it is. Like, he even does the putting it in your hand.
What if I close my hand? I know you just said you don't want to do irresistible grace.
Yeah. We're not going to do irresistible grace today. But I think that's, and this is like what I find, the more that I rest in this, and I'm not, again, like, hands open. Yeah. Right? So we can agree, hands open.
Hands open.
Right? We receive. And the more that I just, like, chill out and be like, oh, I actually did nothing.
Yeah.
And that's all. That's it. It's just hands open. The better God becomes.
Yeah, like, I agree.
He's so good.
So if you've been tracking, we basically just disproved both Calvinism and Arminianism. And we have we've decided on our new theology of all we know is God is good. And that's it. Okay.
But it's just true.
It when is
you
true.
Like you hit the scales of these things, like the spectrum, I should say, of these beliefs, and it's like, sure, they're both in the Bible. You can find them both in the Bible, but like you said, there's this great mystery of things. And I was actually with Luke, and Luke really inspired my last sermon, if I'm being honest. Because I was at Poke, my favorite food, with one of my favorite people, who's Luke. And we were talking about this thing, about like election, if you want to call it that. And
You can call it election.
Yeah. It just raises so many questions for people say that word. But we were talking about this idea that God chooses who he wants to and has mercy on who he wants to, right? Yeah. And then Luke said to me, the more I'm going to try to quote Luke, the more I think about this idea that God picks who he wants to pick, the more it makes me pray for the people that I know who don't know Jesus. Because really, that's the only thing we can do. Is, and that's where we ended on Sunday, was like, the crazy thing about God is like, he has mercy on who he wants to have mercy. And somehow, if you ask for mercy, you'll always get mercy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somehow.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, but it's God's choice. Mm-hmm. But he's true to himself that he's merciful. Right? And so how much more should I both pray for myself for the mercy of God and pray for those who don't yet, have not yet experienced it, that they would receive the mercy of God.
Yeah.
That God would be merciful to them, would cause their life to be turned toward the mercy of God. Mm. Because what else can we do? Like, we can't earn it and they can't earn it. It's all God's choosing.
Yeah. That maybe I'll just leave it with one beautiful verse. Unless you want to change
Let's decide
something.
After you read it. Yeah.
But it's 1 Timothy 4:10. I think this really encapsulates this whole conversation. That is why we labor and strive, because we've put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Oh no, I got another eye roll. That's like the fourth one. I think that really beautifully encapsulates this great mystery, though. Yes, he's open for all people, especially, though, for those who believe, for those who will receive it. Are we good to, what do you think? Does that?
Let's wrap that up.
Good to encapsulate there? Okay, we get the seal. We get the stamp. Yeah. So God bless you guys. And as Mike said, the purpose of it is to spur us and urge us into prayer for those who have yet to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So would you join us in doing that, in holding up our friends, our family, and petitioning God on their behalf, that the grace and mercy would be extended to them as well. So we love you guys. We'll see you next week. We hope you enjoyed. And feel free to join us on Wednesday night for prayer starting at 7 p.m. Love to see you there.
Unpacking Sunday is a podcast of Caribou Road Christian Fellowship Church. If you're interested in more information, please check out our website at www.crcfchurch.com.